Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Divi Nation. Divi Nation is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. The goal of Divi Nation is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it is my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I interview S.J. James. Now, S.J. is the founder of Divi Space, a wildly popular creator of third-party Divi plugins, child themes, and layouts. He's an incredibly active community member, and I believe the first person to be a guest on this podcast twice. I invited S.J. back because so much has happened in his life and with his Divi-based business since we last spoke on the air. I wanted to give him a platform to share more of his personal and professional journey with us, as well as the hard-earned lessons that he's learned along the way. All of that and more in today's episode of Divi Nation. Here it is. SJ, welcome to Divi Nation.
Hello, how are you?
I am doing great, and I noticed you're already enjoying the whiskey that we talked about sharing together, so cheers.
Cheers to you too.
Podcasting with whiskey. A first for Divi Nation, which is nice.
There is no bad time for whiskey. I think we've established that.
Yeah, 100% agreement on that front. Well, hey, man. Long time no see.
It's been a while, yeah. I'm trying to think when I was last on. Over a year ago now, I think.
Yeah, I mean, without looking, I know you're definitely one of the first early episodes. I mean, you were really early on. What have you been up to, man? Is that a loaded question?
It's a very loaded question. What? I've been very busy with Divi Space and the merger, which I'm sure most people know about, mm-hmm. with Aspen Grove. And I've been kind of just as busy trying to work out the work-life balance thing. Trying to get that back on board and trying to make sure that I'm spending time with the family and doing all of the dad things that I should be doing, taking the kids on days out and things like that, and not just balls deep in code as I seem to have been for the last year.
Well, so, yeah, maybe we can start to unpack that. I mean, for everybody who is maybe seeing SJ on the podcast for the first time, he's one of the earliest guests we've had on the show. Crazy active in the community, really vocal, really kind of a spotlight, really. And he started a Divi Space, and which has been a big presence and continues to be a big presence in the community. You've created, you know, how many plugins, third-party Divi plugins now?
I don't know how many are.
It's
out
a lot.
There
it's actually see, it's quite a few.
Yeah, it's like 14 or so plugins I've got on the go at the moment, and I think 8 maybe are out. Available now. And
I also believe you were the first Divi child theme builder in the community.
Yeah. So we released the child theme builder as a tool on the website to allow people to do it right. There was a lot of it's not so much of an issue now, but around the time that we built the child theme builder, a lot of people were still using the old import method with the line and the style sheet, and obviously WordPress now suggests that you don't do that and you do it through the functions instead. So we created the child theme builder that did that for you. So anybody kind of transitioning into this new way could do it without having to like get a headache or
yeah, definitely.
You know, no one ever used to include the functions in the child theme. So it was a bit scary for some people, but yeah, we made a free tool to do that.
And it's quite nice. I got to say, if you're still looking at those emails, you see me do it every once in a while because I'm constantly spinning up demo sites and doing little tweaks. And it's just so quick, you know,
It's one of those things. It's not
it's
even
like, why do it over and over again if you can just click a button, you know?
Yeah. And because we did the kind of way you can import the CSS that you have, people that maybe got a bit further down the line and went, oh, I forgot to do a child theme, could just zip it straight in and then they're done, you know? So that was kind of easier for everyone.
Yeah.
It's all about making it easier, isn't it? And just, even if you know how to do it manually, why bother?
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, all that is to say that you've been around the block in the Divi community. And
oh, Yeah, I've been around the houses.
And now, you know, with the merger that you spoke of with Divi Space, there was three, wasn't it? Three different brands or entities, or how was it actually structured?
So the way it worked was, I was I'm quite friendly with David, mm-hmm. Who owns Aspen Grove jointly with Corey. And I was talking to him at the time, and I said, look, mate, I'm really kind of overworked at the moment, and I'm struggling to kind of keep up and still have that work-life balance where my kids don't hate me for not being there. And he was like, you know, if you ever need any help, it was kind of a very kind of offhand gesture, but mm-hmm. It got me thinking, right, maybe there's something here. Mm. As it turns out, Shannon, who owns Purple Finch Studios, had also been talking to David about potentially looking at joining somebody that runs a Divi Space type website, something that's quite blog intensive and is led around tutorials and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it happened, it was serendipity, really. We kind of, the three of us were all in places where we needed each other, and we said, well, let's just do this.
Yeah.
You know, let's put a bit of trust in this and kind of see how we can make it work. So all three of us came together. We've all got our different strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. I essentially wanted to get away from running a business.
Let's go. Yeah, let's backtrack a little bit. So that was the big news. Now let's get the backstory on it. Why was that a good deal for you? You know, like why? Like, because I think a lot of people, all the guests we have on the show, and I think a lot of people in the community, you know, they're actually shooting for what you had, which is to bootstrap something, to get a good following, to establish a brand that is trusted and people are excited to see what comes out next. You were doing that, and you decided to go another route. So first of all, I have two questions, and I'll probably have to repeat this, but the first one is, what's the lead up to that decision? And the second is, what does your new role look like?
Okay, so the lead up to that decision is exhaustion, and just essentially just being online all day, every day, trying to. I'd tried hiring people before, so I'd had people working for me before. Turns out I'm not very good at
managing.
I micromanage everything. And when other people are doing stuff for me, in the back of my mind, I'm going, yeah, it's good enough. But in my head, I'm just going, he's doing it wrong. He's doing it wrong. He's doing it wrong. And I don't have the patience in, which I realized about myself, you know, and I think it's important to realize these things about yourself. I don't have the patience to allow that to happen for the probably 3 months that it would need to happen before somebody learns the role, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what I wanted was big dogs. I wanted people that already knew how to do this stuff, but the people that already know how to do this stuff don't want to be hired because they've got their own ventures already, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly, that's exactly the area I find myself in recruiting people to do content, is like everybody who has the best ideas, the most creative take on how to use Divi, they're all running their own businesses, you know? So it's like, you can't just go, well, I'd like you to submit, you know, a blog post or two a week. They're like, I mean, I would like to, but you know,
I'm busy.
I'll get you one a month, maybe, you know? Like,
yeah. Exactly. So I found myself in a kind of position where I was thinking, do I carry on doing this? Do I keep trying to find the right people? Or do I merge with people that are, you know, just as prevalent in the space and are able to bring the things that I don't want to do anymore? So when you start the business, or when I was running kind of Gritty, which is more web design, WordPress related, rather than Divi centric. And I started Divi Space as an experiment, really, just to see where it would go and how interested it would be. And before we knew it, we had like, you know, 30 odd products for sale. And, you know, close to 20,000 users, and was okay. So that kind of got bigger than we thought it was going to. And then it was still just really, I mean, there were other people that were coming in and out of the kind of the business, but it was still just me. And I was really, really busy. Yeah. And it was busy doing things like support, marketing for the products and things like that, rather than building new stuff, which is what I wanted to be doing. I wanted to be kind of improving the stuff that we had and building new stuff.
Yeah.
So I had a, do I bring people in or do I find the right people that already are out there? And that seemed to be the easier thing to do once I started speaking to Aspen Grove and Purple Finch.
Yeah.
So we did that, and it was nervous, and it was a big step because I was letting go. But I couldn't have done it with better people, really. And it's really, really worked out for me because I'm now doing what I love. I spend most of my day just in code. And it's kind of, I feel like Neo in the Matrix, you know, I'm just kind of, I'm there and I'm looking at things and ideas are coming to me. And before, where I didn't have time to research new things or learn things that I didn't know that I'd need to know to build new stuff, now I've got that time. I'm reading books again, you know. I can't remember, like, I went like 6 months without picking up a new book.
That would kill me.
I just didn't have time, you know. And now I've got time to read, I've got time to take the kids out on days out, I've got time to...
Yeah.
Run and do things for charity that I'd stopped doing because I was too busy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just in a good place now, and I've got the team to make that happen.
That's awesome. I think it takes a lot of courage to let go of the reins of control for the big picture stuff in order to do what you recognize is really your strength. Can you maybe talk a bit about the process of letting that go and like where you had to get your headspace in order to make that happen?
So I think if I wasn't as exhausted and stressed out as I was, then I probably wouldn't ever have let go.
Yeah.
Because I'm a little bit of a perfectionist and also a bit of a control freak. And if things aren't happening just so.
Yeah.
But what I did was I ended up in business with people that are better at me than I am at the things that they were doing. So, you know, you had David, who is just... I mean, you know, David is is extraordinary.
If you need an ambassador for your company, I mean, you got the guy, right?
Exactly. I mean, I don't know, apart from wearing like a bear costume and dancing, I don't know how he could be a bigger mascot for the business.
Yeah, totally.
And then you've got Shannon, who is just a marketing genius, like very quickly into conversations about how we're going to take things to the next level. Did I realize that? In those areas of the business, I'm out of my league here. Mm. And that's far from being scary. That's a comforting thought because I want people that are better at me to do these things that I don't want to do anymore.
Yeah.
It's the same as kind of looking at the way that they set up support and things for products now. Like when I was running it, I tried 100 different things, but in the end, I ended up just doing this is my email that's for support. Mm-hmm. Email me, I'll email you back the fix. Which, as you know, once you start getting quite abusive emails,
it's a really suicide.
And you end up, it's death by inbox. And,
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, and, you know, so it wasn't working for me. And the whole time that I'm going, right, I definitely need, because, I mean, and you can't afford to lax on things like support either, because that quickly turns into public social media posts.
Yeah.
It quickly turns into disdain for your products. And if that happens, everything that we've done before to build up this brand where people trust what we're doing has been for shit, and it's not worth kind of doing anymore.
I mean, it's your highest impact, most frequent contact with the customer, right? So like you might have a higher volume of interaction on like say your blog or email or whatever, but like there's no more high tension, high emotion interaction that happens more frequently than a support ticket. And so if you handle that well, that determines how that high emotion is shifted. Is it shifted to gratitude towards the brand, or is it shifted to rage towards the brand?
Exactly. And to be fair, with support as well, I mean, of all the ways that you contact customers or come into contact with customers, support is probably the one where 99% of the time you're starting in a negative area.
Absolutely.
So for them to even be contacting you, something's gone wrong, and people don't like things going wrong. So you either turn that around and, you know, through good support, turn a negative into a positive, or you don't respond in the right way, and then you've lost a customer.
Yeah.
Now, Divi's big, but it's not so big that we can afford to be, you know, losing people or you know, hemorrhaging business. So it was important for me to get that part right. I knew that by myself, I was doing an okay job, but that other people out there were doing it better. And it's a business where, you know, there are new people on the scene all the time, and if they're doing it better, then that's where people are going to go.
Yeah.
So it was important for me to find somebody or people that could do that better than just me milling through emails trying to answer support queries. And it came to, even to me, I knew that what I was doing was wasting time. So it's like I was getting similar support requests through. And I was like, but there's no, I don't have templates for this. And if I do, I have to go and dig them out. And I know where the fix is for this, but I didn't save it. And so now I'm just rewriting the fix and it's taking half an hour instead of 2 minutes.
And all the while you're sitting indoors, out of the sunshine, away from your kids, bubbling over with frustration.
Starting to hate the desk that I love, you know. Spent a lot of time on this desk and now I'm starting to wish I wasn't at it, kind of thing. So speaking to the team was huge for me, because they went, you know, SJ, we've got this. And then they showed me the system that they had in place that they were using, Aspen Grove, and I was just like, that's cool. I was like, I want that for Divi Space customers. So that's essentially what happened. So I was like, where, if by doing this merger I can get the right support for people, I can get the right marketing being done, and I can free myself up to build cool new stuff.
Yeah.
No brainer for me. I was like, yeah, let's do that. So that's what happened.
That's awesome, man. So what exactly are you doing now? You said you're in code all day long, but I mean, and I guess in a bit more detail, what are you working on? How does your new position kind of, how's it structured?
So there's probably three main things that I do now. So the first one is, if the people that are doing this, obviously when it's your own product, you know it inside and out. Mm-hmm. And if it's somebody else that's dealing with the support on that, they're going to know it to a degree, and they're going to get to know it even more the longer that they support it. Mm-hmm. They're never going to know it like you. So there comes a point when maybe 1 in 10 support requests reaches me, and it's kind of like, okay, we took a look, couldn't kind of figure it out. Then somebody else took a look, it still doesn't make any sense. Then you took a look, and because you wrote it, you know, you can read your own gibberish, you know what it should be.
Amazing how that works. We still have instances to this day where it's like, there'll be a project that a group of us is working on, and we'll be like, I don't know how to tackle this or just the right way. And Nick will come in and just like knock it out in like a fraction of the time. He's like, yeah, I just went ahead and did that. And you're just like, oh my gosh.
It happens. The worst ones are when you kind of, you look at it and you go, who the hell wrote this code? And then you realize you did.
It's me.
And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, but I'll fix it. But yeah, so maybe 1 in 10 support requests now will reach me. And that takes up maybe kind of an hour a day of my time just dealing with that. Mm-hmm. The second part is going through products that we have. And because when I started writing products, I mean, I'd only really been doing kind of the PHP side and the JavaScript side for a year. And I know so much more about kind of those libraries now and kind of those code bases that I go back to the first products that we made. And this is kind of what happened with Divi Switch. So if you remember before, Divi was Divi Module Editor, before it was Divi Switch, and kind of it was going back through the original Divi Module Editor and going, who wrote this? You know, someone is so kind of backwards. We should be using arrays to kind of do this, and we're not. Why aren't we? So I went back and I kind of did that, and that was the base for what I'm doing with all of our products now, which is to go back and say, right, okay, code review. What's still good and stands up? What needs to change? There were things that were coming up with around PHP 7, where certain things were kind of, constructors and things like that were failing or were giving us warnings. Mm-hmm. So we're having to go back and change a few things just to make sure that it's compliant for the new PHP. But also going back and saying, okay, how can we make this lighter? How can we make it faster? How can we make it better? So I do that quite a lot now, and I look at what feature adds we can do. What can we add this that's kind of relevant to the base plugin, and it gives people a little bit more bang for their buck. And then the last part is the fun part, which is just new stuff. So looking at, you know, going through the support channels on Elegant Themes, going through the Facebook groups, finding people's pain points, and then saying, okay, so what can we build kind of to deal with this, because when I was building websites and that was my main job, so when I was doing more the web development side of it, mm-hmm. you find the pain points yourself because you're coming up against them day in, day out. Now I'm building less websites and building yeah. more products. Yeah. You need to look outside of yourself to find out what those pain points are. So it's going through and it's seeing what other people are struggling with and then deciding how we package that up into something that can serve the community.
So I'm hearing, I think we might be getting a little bit of feedback on your end, but I'm hearing a kind of interesting progression in your overall story, just from knowing you through Divi for a while, is that, you know, seems like you started out as someone who's primarily a content person, and then you yeah. became sort of like a designer who used Divi to kind of support maybe like your lack of development, and then you quickly like started to become a developer by like working with people and just tinkering and figuring stuff out. Now you're like a lead developer for your company. It's a pretty pretty interesting story, pretty interesting progression. Like what was it like to realize that, you know, based on where you started and where you ended up, that your actual preferred skill set was completely different than what got you into the business to start with?
I think you've hit it there, really, in the sense that everything that I've done up until this point has been starting off with a broad range of skills mm-hmm. and then honing in on one particular skill that I'm interested in, and then again honing in on a skill and then honing in on a skill. And so I've kind of found myself here. So, I mean, my first real need for even entering into the web development world was to build websites for my own businesses that I was setting mm-hmm. up. It was completely different. It was, you know, it had
nothing. Were you like a bouncer at one point?
Yeah, it was, well, I, yeah. I did... I set up a security company.
Yeah, so maybe that's too simplistic to call it a bouncer. But yeah, you're doing like yeah. security for people.
Yeah, and it was like surveillance and things like that. Yeah, so, yeah. And then I had to build my own website and I was like, this is fun. So I went yeah. into kind of, I built more sites for friends and things like that. And then I was like, actually, I prefer this to what I was doing. So then I shifted across, and it wasn't just the web design either. It was kind of the marketing side of it and kind of the social media side of it. Mm-hmm. And I ended up working at a company doing those things. But the web design thing kind of, it lit a fire in me, and it was, yeah. it was always the thing that when they went, we need this built, it was the thing that made me happy. I was like, okay, so I'm going to go away. Mm-hmm. It's the thing that you'd stay late for and that you'd work on at home.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting, you know? And then, that started off as basic CSS and things like that, and WordPress and those kind of things. And I found very quickly I reached my own limitations. Mm-hmm. I don't really ever like reaching my own limitations. I don't like having limitations. So I started like learning the other stuff that you need yeah. to be able to do to make WordPress work. And then I discovered that the more I got into code, the more I could see the beauty in code. And I was mm-hmm. like, this is beautiful. You'd open up somebody else's plugin and you'd look at the code and you go, well, look at that. Isn't that gorgeous? You know, you
kind of like, I know what that means. I can do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, it must be like when you go and live in a country and you don't understand the language.
And then all of a sudden one day it clicks and you're like, yeah, yeah. I can read that sign. I know what that yeah, says. Exactly. I know what that means.
Yeah. And that's where I was. And it was wonderful and it was new and it was exciting. And I did it more and then kind of found Divi.
Yeah.
And in doing so, came across a personal pain point of mine was that in the general WordPress community, whether or not this is a rule or this is just where I found myself, mm-hmm. people can be a bit of a dick and could be, yeah. So especially with new people.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to kind of to learn new things when people just keep telling you to Google stuff.
You know, you're not the only person I've heard with that complaint. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know whether or not it's a massive thing or whether or not everybody overcomes it how I did and just yeah. kind of learn it yourself to a degree until you can talk better about the things that you're trying to learn.
Yeah.
But you don't know what you don't know. So
exactly.
You know, it takes a while to get to that point. But once I did, I discovered the Divi community and everyone was just lovely. You know, it was so different to what it was like. And because the kind of online communities and Facebook groups and things like that were still quite new, mm-hmm. it was very easy for me to kind of establish myself as somebody that was able to help other people.
Yeah.
And once you do that, you can drive the kind of the conversation a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, we're not going to have that kind of that normal go and Google it kind of attitude here. We started a couple of groups. I'm like, we're going to be very, very kind of supportive.
Proactive
kind of
like, and helpful. Yeah. As opposed to...
be nice. Be nice. Talk to people in a nice way, you know?
I like that. I think that might be just a good attribute of any successfully or truly helpful community builder online. It's like, you know, put your parent hat on. Like, think of like, if you wouldn't want your kid to do it, then you probably shouldn't behave that way or encourage other people to behave that way.
And you get into some positions where you're like, don't make me turn this group around. Because I will. And so you get into the kind of that mode. And once
I will branch this thing into its own group so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll fork it in a minute, I swear. So I was kind of in that space. And I found myself with a group of people that were very like-minded, very keen to learn more, to dig into the product and create new solutions. And that led to the friendships that eventually led to the merger that kind of changed my business at the start of this year. So
when are you coming back to the US, man? You're going to be at WordCamp US this year?
I'm coming in December.
Yes. We'll eat some hot chicken together. It'll be awesome.
Get a bottle of whiskey ready. I'm coming.
We'll have it. No worries. Well, I'd like to redirect us a little bit. And I want to talk about, because it sounds to me like in addition to just having a really fascinating sort of personal journey in terms of skill development and what you want out of your job, I also know that there's a huge, you know, non-technical, non-design-related component here, which is literally just like the quality of life that you experience and what you want out of it. Can you maybe speak a little bit to the importance of making sure that you're prioritizing mental, physical, and like relationship health as opposed to, you know, the next milestone in your business or just milestone?
To speak frankly, I mean, when I started my own business, I was married, and I'm not married now. And one of the reasons that happened was that work took up too much time. And kind of when work takes up too much time, things get left at the wayside, and you lose certain things in your personal life. Now, I left that kind of corporate culture to get away from that. And what I quickly found is that I had created the same problems, but in my own work life, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, it was really important at the beginning of this year to sort of sit down when, you know, when people do the New Year's resolutions and they sit there and go, what do you want out of the year? I did that. I sat down and I went, okay, what do I want to do? And what I wanted to do was to make sure that no more than 50% of my time was spent working. Mm. I've got other things that I want to do. I want to make sure, you know, I've got 6 children. Yep. I want to make sure that they're getting my time. And, you know, that's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time.
I want to make sure that they're getting a decent chunk of my time. I wanted to do the dad things that I hadn't done while I was in the corporate world, which is kind of, I wanted to do the school run. I wanted to pick them up. I wanted to make their dinner. I wanted to know how their day was. I wanted to read them a story and put them to bed. And you lose these things when all you do is work.
Yeah.
So it was important for me to get those things back, but still have a successful business because bills need to be paid, right? So I was kind of, how do I make this happen? And I think what I've managed to do is realize that work is going to be there. So you can make work for yourself. And once you kind of streamline your day and try and break down your day into the things that actually need to be done, there's very few things that absolutely need to be done.
Yeah, that can't wait till tomorrow, basically.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. You convince yourself that you need to spend the extra hour because otherwise, you know, the world's going to end or something's going to happen. But in reality, there's things that are important, and then there's things that you think are important because you're too kind of your head's in one place.
You're really focused on. Yeah, I think that's a brilliant insight and something that I know that I multiple times, because you can forget it too, that you have to realize that, you know, work will always be there. That insight that you had, I think if anybody's wondering or doubting that that's possible, to just go work ends at six or whatever your preferred time is and then just walk away. If you're wondering if that's possible, just try it one day and see if the world ends, you know, and I guarantee you it won't.
Yeah, I think if you came out of university or school or something and then just went, you know what, I'm finishing at 12 today, I don't care what anybody says, then maybe you wouldn't get where you need to do. But once you've put in, if you've put in a few good years where you're so hyper-focused that you're making stuff happen, you can get yourself into a place where you can kind of, you can step back and you can go, like my day now, so like I'll do the school runs, I'll pick the kids up, I'll put them to bed, I'll do, you know, all those things that I wanted to do, I'm doing. But also, you know, I do charity runs. I'll go for a swim at lunchtime. I'll do things that, you know, if I was working for anybody else, can you imagine working in a normal office and kind of just getting up in the middle of the day to go
for a swim?
I'm going
to go for a swim, guys. Yeah. I'll see you.
Yeah, I'll see you later. I'm up for a swim. You'd get laughed out of the building. But, once you kind of, if you're doing it yourself, as long as you know that, like, the things that need to be done are being done, take some time for yourself and just enjoy life and go out when it's sunny. You know, if you can smell the sunshine outside, go out for a walk, enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, we've got a very limited amount of time on this planet, and you're not gonna regret going for a nice walk in the sunshine.
You are not kidding. And it sounds like your preferred method is to be a bit more, organic about when those times pop up. And I suppose, particularly in your position, that's a freedom that you have. That is most of the other freelancers in our community would also have. But for someone like myself, I got a pretty established day every day. But I know for me, if the organic just get up and do it thing isn't working for people, I try to put just as much effort into planning my leisure as I do planning my work. And that's been something that's really worked out for me, because I'm also like a chronic overworker, you know, like it's very easy for me to just be like, I got goals, I want to hit them, and I'm not leaving this room until they're met. You know, that's just the kind of person I am. So it's like I adopted this habit of just sitting down with my planner, and that's taken many forms over the years. But whatever it is I'm using to organize my time and my tasks, and just going like, I'm going to go out to eat here. I'm going to...
Exactly.
Like, I literally have made it a priority, and it sounds weird, it's been like a priority all summer long to have two kickball games a month in a park.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't miss it. You know, like if I have to come home at 10 and get a few more things done, I do it. But it's like, I'm going to get that time outside and enjoy myself and just make time to enjoy life, because it's so easy to not do that and just wake up one day and go, why am I so unhappy?
I think that's the thing, isn't it? People kind of eventually, even if you work for yourself, you get into a stage where you start to hate Mondays again, and you're like, what happened?
Is this possible?
Yeah, I left that culture so that I wouldn't hate Mondays anymore. And I'm still kind of, you know, I wake up groaning on Monday morning. So if that's happening to you, take a second to kind of figure out why and do something about it. But the other thing, like what you were saying there, is to combine your calendars. So if you've got a personal calendar and a work calendar, combine them so that you can see, you know, the things that you want to do be in there alongside the things that you have to do. You need to give yourself that headspace, you know?
Yeah, because it's so easy to try to maximize your productivity only to realize that by not having those two things integrated, you've literally taken up almost every waking hour or every possible like hour that you have that's of any value, like as far as your quality of thinking or anything like that. Like you don't want to going out to eat or trying to have a stimulating conversation with somebody is not going to be enjoyable if you're utterly exhausted, you know? So like you have to find ways to make sure that that's balanced.
Right? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's also the other side of that where actually going out for a walk or going for a swim, you come back with solutions to problems that you were having.
Yep.
That just taking a break and just not staring at your screen actually is the solution.
That's like the famous Eureka story, right? Like the term Eureka, that the whole like myth or folktale behind that is that the guy trying to solve a tricky problem, he took a bath and it was in his bath that he, you know, stood up naked, shouted Eureka. And it was only in his downtime that he actually found the solution to something he'd been working himself near to death for, you know?
I mean, it's like, is it Edison that worked in the patent office? And just you need to do things that take your mind away from what you're doing, and then you find the solutions that will just come to you. The amount of times I've been up at 2 a.m. trying to fix a bug in code and just being like, nothing's working. Everything I'm doing is making it worse. And then you give up and you go, this is just not happening. I've now got a rule that I don't try and code anything after 11 o'clock because nothing good happens. I break things.
And the whiskey flows too much. You can't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Too many whiskeys, not enough concentration. So, but if you just go to bed, you wake up in the morning and it's like, it's so clear what the solution is. Sometimes you just have to step away, go for the walks, go for the swims, take time out, see friends, have nice dinners, you know, do things that aren't sat at your computer.
There's literally something about human consciousness, and not to get too, I don't want to be woo sciencey on anybody, because that's not me at all, but I don't have a study to point to, but I have just an absurd amount of anecdotal evidence for this, is that there's just something about the way the brain works that if you're pushing one way long enough, it just, like, you know, it runs out of capacity to think in that way. And
it starts pushing back.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and just to speculate, I mean, like, what other animal in the world can sit in one place and focus all their attention on one thing for 10 hours and not die or be killed? You know what I mean? Like, I have to believe that there's probably something evolutionary to that, where it's like, we're not meant to focus for too long on any one thing, because just survivally, we had to, like, learn how to be aware of our surroundings. So that's my pet theory, is that, you know, if you're stuck up against a wall, you may not actually be stuck up against the wall. Your brain may literally be revolting and saying, like, you know, go do something different for a bit.
Yeah, the thing is, until I experienced it myself, I never bought into that. And I kind of, it's not something that I would have kind of believed. But once you get into the habit of stepping away and just having you time, you know, doing other things, you start to realize the value in it. And kind of, I still love my job. You know, I've been doing this now for nearly 4 years.
Yeah.
And I love it. You know, I wake up every day so happy to turn my computer on. And I don't think I'd be like that if I was doing this in a different setting where it was kind of clock watched 9 to 5. I think I would end up sad, like I was in other jobs. But this still gets me going, you know, this is still my thing. And that's how I know I'm doing the right thing.
Well, we're getting up on time. So here's what I want to end with, our famous closing thought. If there are people who are feeling like maybe they're not happy to turn their computer on Monday morning, what if then they forget everything else we talked about here today? What kind of parting thought would you have for that person?
I think there's an advert on TV over here, and it gets it exactly right. You don't hate Mondays, you hate your job. And that's the truth. If you wake up on a Monday and you groan and you don't want to get out of bed and you use the sixth snooze alarm,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that's kind of your day, then you need to sit down and evaluate where you are and where you actually want to be. Because, you know, if you're sad all the time, maybe that's something else. Maybe you're a loner. Maybe you're sad. Mm-hmm. But if you're just sad on Monday mornings, then you know something's going wrong with your work life, you know?
Absolutely.
You need to do something about that. So, I mean, don't wait for New Year's to start making resolutions. Sit yourself down and kind of go, okay, this is where I am. This is where I would like to be. What needs to change from what I'm doing now to get to where I need to be? And once you've committed to those things, just change one small thing a day until you're living the life that you want to live. And don't, again, allow that to be a fluid thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've changed my mind probably 6,000 times in the last kind of 7 years, you know? I've changed my mind constantly about what I want to do. But it's always...
If you're constantly working towards the direction that you're like, I'm happier in this direction, even if it's not what you set out to do, you're going to end up in a better place, you know? Yeah, so.
Yeah. Am I slightly happier now than I was yesterday? Yes. Then you moved in the right direction, didn't you? If you didn't, then move back.
And I would also like to note that people who are working as a freelancer, you know, if you're waking up and you're like, I don't like Mondays, or I hate my job, guess what? You're your own boss. Like, you're in complete control. You know, you can make every decision that matters and take complete control over what the new direction for your life looks like. So I was really interested in hearing what that looked like for you. And I'm glad that that's kind of the takeaway that you want to share with everybody else too.
Good.
Well, hey man, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me again.
Always. Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, SJ James, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about what we discussed in today's episode, please feel free to leave them in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog, and we will be sure to respond. Thanks again for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you all around the community. And as always, I will be back right here next week with another episode of Divi Nation.